Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining Everyone Has a Story. I am your host, Jamie Hope. With me today, I have author Ann Landrum Stockstill. Welcome,
That's
Ann.
That's correct. Thank you, Jamie.
I was afraid I was going to get that name wrong. I was practicing all morning.
You wouldn't be the only one.
Yeah, I imagine so. You're a very interesting author. I was actually looking over, you know, your books and everything, and I noticed that the two books, Perfect Prince and your other book, which we're going to also discuss today, was written and released in January of this year. So that's quite a feat. Which book do you want to start with?
Well, I tell you what, the first one that we did was Coyote Creek Ranch. So we could probably start with that one if that's okay with you.
Oh, that's more than fine. Can you tell everybody just a little bit about it, please?
Well, I own a ranch, and the name of it is Coyote Creek, and I've had the ranch for about 20 years, and I race horses, which I import all over the world, actually. And basically, the story started from a group of animals that I've actually owned their true tales about horses, and I've had ducks and Australian shepherds and buffalo and one thing after another. So I kind of got the idea that I could write stories that could be educational and express the personalities and the survival experiences of some of my ranch animals. Because at one time I owned 178 horses, so I have a whole lot of different stories I can actually write related to those.
So how long did it take you to write that book?
Well, what I actually did, I started out, I was going to do it as just each story would be an individual children's, like a picture book or a chapter book. And then we decided, I met Susan, and we decided that instead of doing them as individual stories, that we'd just make it into a series. And each book, we could have about four or five stories. So it took me some time to write each story, and I imagine over a period of about 3 or 4 months, I wrote the stories. And then we put it all together in this first book, and that's why we call it Coyote Creek Tales Book 1, so I can add to it and add other stories about other animals that I own.
So, you mentioned just some of your animals, and that's quite the menagerie. I'm, like, interested in all of it, but I find it quite interesting. You know, because I myself have written a nonfiction book, and I know how hard that is. Now, how did you decide, you know, because I imagine, you know, since it's a series, I mean, which ones went in and which ones didn't? I imagine you have all these stories already for each of your animals.
Well, not yet. I have ideas for other stories, and I've started writing a couple of new ones. But the first one that I wrote was called Lady and the Panther. And several years ago, I actually had a little quarter horse mare that was in my back pasture, and she was attacked by a black panther. A lot of people didn't believe that panthers live in East Texas, and they kind of thought I was crazy. But from the bite marks and the claw marks and everything and what it had done to her, actually you know, they have a kind of a bacteria in their mouth. It's a flesh-eating bacteria. So when it bit her in the chest, it actually, all of her skin was eaten away. So when I found her, it looked like chicken fat, you know, and it had torn the muscle in her leg, and she was in pretty bad shape. But she had such a will to live that we rushed her to the vet, and they kept her for about a week. And then I brought her home and hydrated her and worked with her for about a year, year and a half, and now you can ride her again. So that was the first book, was a story about, and I wrote it kind of from her perspective and the one of the panther, because the panther had cubs, and she was looking for a meal, and Lady was a real shy little mare, and she always wandered off by herself, so she was away from the herd, and it was just a perfect target for the cat. So that was the first book that I wrote. Then I had in the same book, I included one about Guinevere, a goose that I owned. And Guinevere was actually, her parents were killed by coyotes here at the ranch, but they had managed to lay some eggs underneath a worker's mobile home that I had here. And after they were killed, I found the eggs and put them in an incubator and hatched out 14 babies. So Guinevere I had for about 12 years. So that was my second story.
That's actually very interesting. I would imagine that it'd be hard to write from the perspective of the animal, since, you know, you don't really know what they're thinking half the time. Half the time I don't know what I'm thinking, and I'm me, so, yeah. I would imagine that it'd be hard to write. So, you actually meant, I thought I heard you say something about a buffalo.
Yeah, we owned some buffalo at one time, and, you know, I would never do it again because they're not really animals that you can have as pets. I think what we basically did, we thought we could raise beefalo when we bought them. So we bought mm-hmm. them as bait, and they were approximately 3 or 4 months old. And it was kind of funny because when they arrived at the ranch, they actually would attach themselves to a mama cow, and you'd see a baby calf on one side and you'd see the buffalo nursing on the other. But the bad thing is that when they grew up, they still thought the cow was their mother, and every time she had a baby, they wanted to kill it. So it wasn't a good situation. I ended up getting rid of the buffalo.
Where I was going with my question, because I was curious how the buffalo got along with the other animals.
Well, they basically, I think you have to buy them and raise them together. So the cattle and the calves and the buffalo would have to be the same age when you get them. And if they grow up together, they're fine. But if you bring them in and introduce them into a herd, you know, it doesn't generally work out too well.
Yeah, I would imagine not, especially since I've seen where cats and dogs and other animals get along as they're brought up as babies. So I guess it makes sense. I kind of want to move on to your other story because it's actually quite different from your nonfiction. This is actually like a children's fantasy. I mean, you go from one side of publishing right to the other genre, like within the same month. I find it amazing, even though I've done it before myself, but I find it amazing because it actually took me a long time to do it, even though I published at the same time.
Right.
But where did you get your idea for the perfect prince?
Well, actually, I don't know if you've ever seen the Fairy magazine, but I was looking online and saw this advertisement. There were some models that were actually, they were at a castle, and they were modeling medieval clothing. And it was so unique and different, and the castle had a moat in front of it, and it was just so neat, and they were dancing, and they had the colorful clothing on. And it just kind of gave me the idea of having a princess in this setting, and that's where it started. And then I started to think of a storyline, and I had Madeline, who's the princess. Her parents had died when she was young, and she had grown up with her uncle, And when she became about 18 years old, she had not found the perfect prince. So she and her maid decided to go on a journey to find him. And so that led them to a castle over a period of 2 weeks. They found this castle that was in the midst of a lake, and they had to find a way to get there. And everything they thought about would magically appear. So when they were wondering how to get to the castle, suddenly a stone bridge appeared. And as they arrived at the gate, they started to open it, it opened automatically. And so it just led to one thing after another. But you have to read the book to see what happens. But she finds her perfect prince, and she finds out that physical appearance has nothing to do with love.
Actually, I have read that. That's why I wanted to discuss it, because I find it to be very interesting.
Her prince becomes, actually, they had a similar childhood because his parents died in a stable fire trying to save some of their horses. And he was badly burned, so he was disfigured. And she learned to love him even because of that, in spite of that. She loved him, who he was, his thoughts, his feelings, his kindness. And because of that love, it healed him physically.
So, where did you find the illustrator for that? Because the illustrations, like, just pop.
There's a site that you can go to that's called Big Stock Photo, and you can buy the pictures, right, to use the pictures. There's some of my dogs right here. I raise Australian Shepherds, too, so they're making a racket.
Oh. And you already mentioned a little bit about Susan and publishing. How did you happen to discover her?
I'm sorry. I'm trying to get away from the animals. I have too many of them out here. could you repeat that again?
You've already mentioned a little bit about Susan, your publisher. How did you happen to find her and begin the process, as it were.
Basically, I had a friend on Facebook. I had published some poetry books prior to meeting Susan. I think my first one I published about 2012. And so I had five that were published. And at the time, I was looking for somebody that would publish my children's books. And a friend of mine on Facebook said I needed to get in touch with Susan because she knew that she did such a good job, and she was a graphics artist and everything also. So that's how I got in touch with her. I friended her on Facebook, and we started talking, and she looked at my work and agreed to publish it.
So when you're not writing your own stuff, what do you like to read, and do you have any authors that have inspired you?
Well, I tell you what, I used to read all the time, and I liked anything from the Far Pavilions to Rogue. Now I kind of read lighthearted things. I do like romance novels. I like a lot of books that are like mystery novels and things like that. So I would have to say I probably like Nicholas Sparks right now because he has a bunch of love stories that are really neat and they're not real deep to get into. And Tammy Hogue, I always liked her murder mysteries. And, of course, Stephen King is great for horror-type stories.
Yeah, so you're like me. You like a little bit of everything.
Pretty much.
So if you had any advice for anybody listening, what would it
any
be?
Advice? On if they're writing or anything, is that what you mean?
Yes.
Well, I find it's pretty difficult sometimes to get your work read and to get published. And it takes a lot of, you can't give up. You have to kind of believe in yourself. And sometimes you don't know if people will enjoy your books like you do. So I would just say don't ever give up. I mean, keep writing, keep joining different types of groups, poetry groups, literature groups. You know, I just joined one in Longview that's a group of women that they get together and it's Beauty in the Book or the Popwood Queens, but they get together once a month and they really, they read books and share. They have an author usually that comes and speaks every month and shares their work. And that's, you just have to network and keep trying and never give up. Share your work and get people to critique it. And finally, you'll find somebody that believes in you like you believe in yourself.
That's good advice. What do you have coming up next? Any more projects?
Well, I have, actually, I have already completed a sixth poetry book, which Susan's going to work on. And it's going to be entitled Rivers of Change. So I have about 65 poems that go in it. I'm also working on a book. It's a faction book, but it'll be called The Dark Side. And it's about the character is actually a psychopathic, narcissistic personality. And it is based on a true story. And then Susan and I have been talking about possibly doing a book on domestic violence. To share the misconceptions of that with women and other people.
It sounds like you're going to be very busy.
pretty much, if we get all of that done. But yeah, the one about the faction one's taking me the longest to write because since so much of it is a true story, trying to relay what really happened and remember what happened and put it in, you know, put in the conversations has been kind of difficult.
Well, I'm actually looking forward to reading that.
Now, it's about a guy on the internet that stalks people. He meets them on the internet, dates them, and he's actually got quite a bit of money, but it's his hobby to seduce women on the internet, and he likes to get into their heads and know everything about them, and so he's pretty much a psychopath, though.
Well, we'll definitely have to have you back when you release that one.
Yeah. Hopefully it won't be too much longer, because I've written, you know, probably 3 or 4 chapters, and once you get started and kind of get into the book and get some momentum, it doesn't take quite as long to finish.
Oh, yeah, I know all about that, and that's why I'm, like, already looking for it. I'm like, oh, I can't wait. Yeah, I kind of like true crime books myself, so that's what I'm into right now the most.
Well, really, I work as a parole officer, so I deal with felons on a daily basis, so there's always a bunch of stories you can get based on not using them, but based on things that have happened that are really true to life.
Yeah, actually, I was just going to ask you if this was based on one of the inmates from where you work, or
this particular story is. is not, no. It is, but it is based on an individual that I know very well.
Ah, okay. Still sounds very interesting, and I can't wait to read it.
Okay. I'll be sure and share it with you when I get through, that's for sure.
All right, great. Is there anything else you want to share with your listeners and readers and everyone else listening?
Well, I just hope that people will enjoy the book. This was, like I said, it's the Coyote Creek book is the first one. It will be, hopefully, I'll have a series of books. And I wrote them so that, you know, children could learn a lesson, actually. It teaches them about the personalities of animals, about the needs of animals. Like Moses the rescue dog is actually about a dog that so many times people will get a dog that has puppies and then they don't want to take care of the puppies and they'll just take them and dump them in the country. I have that happen to me all the time, and that's how Moses arrived here. And they think that they can somehow survive on their own in the wilderness, and they're domesticated, so they don't really know what to do. So hopefully each one of the stories teaches a lesson also. And a lot of them are written from, in fact, all of these were written from the animal's perspective pretty much. So you get a feel of how the dog actually looks at what's happening to him, too, as he's taken from his mother and dumped in the country and left alone to survive. So I want people to enjoy them. And I wrote them where hopefully adults and children both would get some enjoyment out of them.
That book, one last question about that book. What would you say the age group would be on that?
Well, since I taught school, I'm kind of targeted anywhere from second to fifth grade would probably be the most interested. I think anyone would get something out of it, but that's the group that I really think would probably enjoy it the most.
Okay. I have a 5-year-old niece who loves animals, so I had to ask.
Well, if she can, it has pictures. We used actual, in that one, we used pictures of the actual animals also. So she would probably enjoy looking at the pictures and somebody reading it to her.
Oh, yeah, that's actually what I was doing just before the show. I was reading her books. She loves animals and she loves books, so.
That would be good.
Yeah. Well, I thank you for your time today. I'm actually looking forward to reading all your books. They all sound wonderful.
Well, I appreciate it, Jenny.
And I can't wait to talk to you again when your other releases are released, especially that one you were talking to me about.
Okay, well, I'll be glad to let you know when I do, that's for sure.
Oh, I appreciate that. Well, and I thank you, everyone who's listening today. Hope you all enjoyed the show. Definitely do check out Anne's books. What I've seen, what I've heard, awesome. You won't be sorry. And join me again next week. Same time. I can't tell you who's going to be with me next week, but I'm sure it's going to be a great show because all these authors that I've lined up have been super, you know, it's what I expect, and they deliver, so I'm so happy to share everyone's stories because everyone has one. So until next week, everyone, have a good week, and I will speak to you all soon. Have a good day.